what we're going to do differently than probably what you might have anticipated. For you to be here, you're interested in breaking into the small business market. And, one of the things that the small business market, if you ask me to sum it up, it takes the longest sales cycle of anything I've ever sold, the lowest closing ratio of anything I've ever sold, but the most rewarding of anything I've ever sold. The size of the premium difference, I've spoken to many companies. In fact, I'm going to be presenting at the GAMA convention coming next March. And this is one of the interesting things. Most companies' average premium per household, insurance premiums per household, with any small business interest, is about $6,000. Average premium for non-business households is $1,906 for most companies. It varies by state, but mostly this has been very consistent. So when you think about the fact that majority of those in financial services grow their practice at 1906 because they concentrate on personal lines, what would it take and how much difference would it make to grow your practice at that level? Average, you know, an average. So some are much bigger, but look at who you're working with. Then look at that. So we're going to talk about a few things that makes a difference. Now, can you hear me back there? Okay. But before I do, just to make it more interactive and have some fun with it, how many people here, or let me just take maybe three comments. What are your biggest obstacle or struggles when it comes to small business market? What do you get? Okay.
They don't know what they want.
They don't know what they want. Why would that be your problem? That's why you're there.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's not, so you stepped in, they don't know what they want, so you have an in. Who else? What are the biggest problems we have getting into it? Sir?
The time commitments.
Time commitments. Could you explain that a little bit?
Oh, a lot of times they're busy, they're on the run all the time, they don't want to take the time out to sit on business.
Excellent. In fact, for that, if you want to note this, if you work personal lines, personal market, when you set an appointment, call and confirm. If you work small business, don't. 95% of small business appointments that you call to confirm will reschedule because of that. I have tested it over and over. So if you're going to get into small business market, you're going to, the psychology is different. You know, you don't want to waste time, but I'll tell you what you do when you show up and they're not there. We'll talk about, if I forget, ask me. Yes. Gatekeepers, I will tell you this. I left it, in fact, if you come to my table, I'm also here as a vendor. If you come to my table, I can show you why we need to meet with people face-to-face, even though with technology we have the tendency to want to email, text, and do this. It doesn't work with business owners, okay? Face-to-face, because 55% of communication is body language. And if you start out in any game losing 55%, what are your chances? Okay. So when you get there, because part of what I'm going to show you, when you show up asking for the business owner, 9 out of 10 times, you're talking to the business owner, but they don't own up to it. Because they don't know why you're there. So they'll tell you they're not here. Until they can ascertain what you want. then they own up to it. Okay, anybody else? One more. What's the experience? What experience have you had that keeps you from really breaking into the small business market? No problem? Okay, let me refresh and take stock of the room. How many people in the room are self-employed or small business owners themselves? Sure, by a raise of hand. Okay, all right. The ones that did not, for example, are you an employee? Okay. This is the interesting thing for those of you that raise your hand as business owners. When you approach a small business owner and introduce yourself as a small business owner, it gets you in the door better. And we'll talk about how that intro would work, because you have something you can relate to with them. Okay? Before I get going, it's hard sometimes when you have a one-hour timeline. You could tell a lot, but at the same time, I want to focus on what would benefit the most. Two people, the first two that would be brave enough to comment. If you have to walk out of this class with just one thing that will make it not a waste of your time, what would it be? Good. So you don't expect anything. Is that correct? So. Wow. Keyword useful. Not just information, okay?
Useful and actionable. What can I do this week?
Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Sir?
Get in front of more of them.
Get what?
Get in front of more business owners.
Okay. Favorably. Okay. All right. Thank you. So we're going to have some fun with this. One thing I want to commend everybody here for being here, our last speaker said, you are here because you want to do or be the best at what you do. Take the game to the next level. It's interesting. One of the things I submitted, he and I had a lot in common. Within a short period of time, the Pentagon client that he was talking about, that was my client. He was counted twice during 9/11, Pentagon death. Pentagon turning his name because he wasn't at the plane hit his desk. And the airline turning his name because on the passenger list, he was on there. It's chilling to sit here and listen to that. I've been in the house. I know the family, you know? And then Chicken Soup for the Soul series that was shown on the, Jack Canfield actually started that. And Jack is hosting a TV program at Hollywood next week, Wednesday. I'm the first person he will interview. And one of the points that they liked about what I submitted was that I simplify my process, even how I hold myself accountable. I decided many years ago that I would never spend more money on my head than I spend in my head. That is, when I think about things that goes in my head, like haircut, shampoo, and all of that, I would never spend more on those things than meetings like this, books, DVDs, seminars, webinars, things that goes in here. By holding myself accountable to that, I have become the best at what I try to do. Knowledge is power. So I just wanted to use that to commend all of you for being here. But what we're going to look at was that with small business, getting your feet in the door is the first thing. The reason it is very difficult is because small business owners are interrupted more than any other group of people. They resent that because it's a distraction. Everybody shows up and says, give me a few minutes, I want to show you what I have that will make you more money or can save you a lot of money. It's always one of those two. Can make you more money or save you money or make the process. It's always just a few minutes. That man or woman probably had distractions up to here. When we show up, what are we thinking about? Not him, not his schedule, but what we have to present. And that's why they had enough. So from phone calls, direct mail, and salespeople showing up, they don't want to talk to any business. So what I did, I just tested this the last 2 years. It works so much. In fact, my son works with me. He thinks this is the easiest thing you could do. When you go back to your offices, Google Open for Business, OFB, Open for Business. And look at the website itself. Business continuity, make plans instead of excuses. Every business needs to prepare for disaster. The disaster could be a fire in the building, it could be a hurricane, tornado, storm, anything, flood. Do business owners really know all of what they need to do to prepare for the business to start next day, next week, next month? Most do not. On this website, for those of you small business owners, check your own checklist. It has a checklist for even something as simple as employees' emergency number. How do you reach your employees if all the cell phone lines are jammed? If everything, you lost power, can you reach all your employees? Do you know where they are? It's interesting. An eye-opener. Even if as employees of any company, take that information, look through. I usually take just one or two pages with me. One thing I have learned, number one, if you are going to be successful with small business owners, do not go to small business owners with briefcase or even this. That makes you a salesperson. And they are ready to fight. Excuse me, man, I'm messing up here. I left mine at the table. This is all I do when I'm prospecting for small business owners. Nobody thinks you can sell them anything with a notepad. I've tested both ways, and I've seen the success. When I go with a notepad and a pen, it's not a foot at the door. 2 feet. Okay? So if you go with a briefcase, you're going to get the same result every salesperson gets. They're not interested. They're too busy. Or the business owner will not even come out. So some days I go to businesses with open for business only. I am a consultant, or I'm a small business owner in the area. I'm doing service work today, just helping every small business owner in my community prepare for any disaster. Have you done yours? This is put together by a nonprofit agency. Doesn't belong to any company. But I just want to make sure you've done yours. I showed them briefly. I encouraged them to log on and get that set up. I will be back next week. I've had people say, was that all? Yes. Because I mean well. I am an insurance agent. I help with doing their financial planning, but that wasn't the reason I was there. The reason I was there was to direct them to very practical information that 9 out of 10 small businesses I've called on have never heard of, but they found it very practical. Then when I go back, it is not my responsibility to make you do this. I'm going to say, Jason, these are the kinds of things that small business owners in this area enjoy doing business with me because I look after them. Then I'm going to introduce myself and introduce some of what I do. That's one way. Another thing that I do . This has been very practical approach. I go to a small business owner. I said, AJ, first I go into business and ask for the business owner. Like I said earlier, 9 out of 10 times, they said, they're not here. Who are you? I said, I am with Thomas's agency. That's all I will say. I'm not lying to them. Whether it's the legal agency, insurance agency, advertising agency, it doesn't matter. I have specific information for every small business owner in this area. I would rather come back when the owner is here. It's just that simple. See, when I put it that way, these gatekeepers, you can't go anywhere. I'm a small business owner in the area. I have specific information for all small business owners in the area. I would rather come back when the owner is here. Then some of them will say, I'm the owner. What do you have? It's very simple. In the next 30 days, when would you have 10 minutes to find out why many other small business owners in this area really enjoy doing business with me? Still, I have not said anything about what I do. You would not believe how many small business owners have said, you're the first person that respects my time. You notice what I did? In the next 30 days, when would you have 10 minutes? I did not say to them, if you just watch what I have, it will benefit you. Because at that point, I'm infringing on their time. But I acknowledge how busy they are. I gave them 30 days. I'm only asking for 10 minutes. Many of them will say, if it's only 10 minutes, tell me. See, because 10 minutes is not a presentation. How many people can do their sales presentation in 10 minutes? Nobody, realistically. So I'm not shrinking my presentation. In 10 minutes, I would go over this very simply. As a fellow small business owner, I understand your challenges. I know what you're dealing with, whether it's payroll, whether it's advertising, competition. When you start naming it, you see them doing this. Taxes, whatever. I'm going to name some things that makes me common with them. As a fellow small business owner, this is what we deal with. This is what we have in common. So when I design a package for you, I take that into consideration. Salespeople do not think that way. I'll stop at that. Then I'm going to do this. When you do business with me, and you need to be taken care of, or you have a claim, we will sit at your place of business, or my office, or my company's claims, customize that to your business. But what that says in number two is local. What I found was 50% of small business owners have their insurance services out of state. The word local has a different meaning because what I've done in number two is actually take three physical locations around me to say the same thing that you may be saying local. But I've painted a picture because I want the business owner to relate to those locations. His place of business, my place of business, or our main office, which is close by in my area. If your home office or Maybe Clem's office is not close by. Drop that. But I'm saying local. And then number three, if you're new, find someone with your company or even someone in your field that have been around a long time. I'm now 31 years in the business. There's one of our agents that is 45 years. I always mention, I said, Bill has been there 45 years. That is the other reason that a lot of small business owners enjoy doing business with me or with us, longevity. I'll tell you how this played out. I had a guy that owns a carpet store. After I finished this, I could do all of this in 8 minutes max. Then this is how I concluded. I said, Jason, at this point, most small business owners would do one of three things. They may say to me, what do you need to prepare a competitive quote? Or, why didn't you come back next week? Talk to me some more. Or, Daniel handles my insurance and financial services. Let me introduce you to Daniel. How would you like to proceed? See, I gave him three choices of what other people do. I find that most people, 9 out of 10, will pick one of the three. Because I help narrow. See, sometimes we go and present things and people say, well, I'll think about it. I'll get back to you on it. Because we left it open. I close it by giving them three functional choices that other small business owners do. You'd be surprised, psychologically, people want to do what others do. Third thing is, introduce me to man or woman in that office that handles insurance or financial services. Does that make sense? So I went in first asking for 10 minutes in 30 days. Whether they do it now or ask me to come back next week, the 10 minutes, I'll use 8 minutes to just go through three things. Number one, what we have in common. And interestingly, I have not made another call since 2012. I have two staff people that I've trained to do this. The fear I had was that when they go out talking to small business owners, that they may ask them, are you the owner? No one has asked yet. They present it this way. We are a small business, and we have this in common. So they are not saying, as I did, I am a small business owner. They use the word, we are small business, and we do this. Or we have specific information for all small business owners in this area. It blows my mind. 2013, this is 2016. No one yet has asked him. One of them has brought in 59 small business households this year so far, through August 31st. We don't do phones. We don't do other things. We just call on people. They make a lot of money doing that because it's different. It's a different approach. My son did this for a while when we went to the open for business test. Now he wants to do that 100%. He said, that's easier. Okay. So this here, one of the results of this, I had this carpet store owner just went, after I finished this, he went and pulled his insurance folder. He said, take out anything you need from there, and then let's make an appointment to talk. So I took this and came home, back to my office, went through it. The business policy, now for you financial services, just hold your thought, I'm going to get you to do that. Because, oh, how many people here do property and casualty also? Okay, so very few, but okay, let me address it from that standpoint, then I'm going to show for financial services side why this is crucial. When I looked through their policies and quoted my company's policies, we were $2,100 higher. See, what I was training my company before was to go to that person and say, I just need a few minutes to see if I can save you money on your insurance, right? If that was the case, I would have been dead in the water. $2,100 for a small business owner, that's a lot, because it was the business policy and the delivery truck and one pickup and then workers' comp. $2,100. I was embarrassed. So when I brought the papers back, I gave it to him. I said, well, we'll try again next year. He said, what do you mean? I said, we're higher. He said, okay, by how much? I said, don't worry about it. We'll try it next year. Because I knew if I told him $2,100, that just killed me right there. I wouldn't stand a chance next year. So I'm trying to wiggle. Have you ever been in a situation where you are trying to get a foot in the door, but when you're in the door, you're trying to get out? So I'm trying to get out of that situation, but he won't let me. Okay, I actually, you know how you sheepishly looked and I said, $2,100. He said, what did you say? I'm embarrassed to say $2,100 higher. When he forced it out of me, he said, I'll take it. In all of my years in the business, I was like stumbling. Because it didn't sink in for a furniture store. I mean, it's not like high dollar item store. Later on, what he explained to me was number three. He said, why don't you go and teach that to branch banking and trusts down the street? He said, I receive account receivable check of $26,000 deposited in my account. That check bounced. That caused another check he wrote for $1,800 to bounce. Nobody at the bank called him. He heard it from a client that he wrote the check to. Very embarrassing. He said, in the last 5 years, they have four managers. Nobody knows who I am. When I was talking to him about longevity, that's all he heard. Based on his experience, premium did not matter. He wanted to do business with me because of that. See, if I had gone in to sell on price, I would have lost that. But I went into the business owner talking about things that matter to some of the business owners that I work with, outside of price. What did our last speaker talk about? Sales is what? Transfer of trust. When you go with non-tangible, something that makes you different, that's where the foundation for trust starts, not price. And that made a big difference. So it is interesting, that approach. It really got me fired up that, okay, I'm on the right track. Yes, it might be frustrating. Yes, it may be awkward sometimes. But when you start taking in people that you were not competitive, and let me go ahead. I think you have your hands up. That's why number three is finding somebody in your industry that, see, even with 30 years, I have someone in my area that has 45 years. I still use them. So if you're starting new, say, this is why small business owners like our business or our company, because we have, or in our industry, in this city, I have Joe that have been there 30, 40, 50 years. That's what small business owners like about doing business with us, because of longevity. So even if you're first year, second year, find someone that has done it longer in your area and use it. I've done that for years. Any other question before I move on? If it is in the same field, see, the field is not the company you represent. That field financial planners or investment brokers or insurance agents, brokers in your area. They're not there today and gone tomorrow. Find the ones that have longevity and said, this is the kind of agency I'm building, and this is why small business owners like to do business. Because that is very strong. And don't forget also, you may be the youngest salesperson there, but more than half of the business owners you're going to talk to are older people. That's what appeals to them. Not what may appeal to the young person with the texting and all. They're not interested in that. Relationship, that's stronger. Okay. When you get, this is the other thing that has given me a lot more success, is helping people. Let me give you an example. I'll use my company for example. They go out and train our agents to go out looking for eligible business. So if you run a gas station, if you have a mechanic shop, State Farm would not write you. Okay? But I go out looking for business households, not the business, knowing fully well I would not be able to insure them. So our company, regional commercial field underwriter, wanted to ride around with me one day and see what I do. The first stop was a bail bondsman's office. He looked at me and said, what are we doing here? I laughed. I said, you look for eligible businesses. I look for business households. When I go into a business, even knowing full well, I can't touch them. So for you financial service, what you could do is learn to just look at limits. It would only take an hour or two with a PNC agent to look at a business policy and know two or three things that you can point to a customer to check back with their company. It could be just loss of use in the business or loss of business. If, what does your policy say? If this building burns and the insurance company is ready to write a check, but it would take 9 months to rebuild this structure and you want this location for your business, what do you get paid during those 9 months? Okay? Something that simple that you look at a policy. So I would take your policy knowing fully well I can't do anything with it. And I could look at some things. I could look at limits and tell you to go back and raise those limits. I'll give you an example. Even for you, on your automobile insurance. Okay. Business auto and most businesses, the difference between business and personal for most small businesses are so thin that even CPAs cannot dissect. Okay? So what I do with small business owners is to make sure their personal insurance liability is in place. Because if they get a lawsuit that will bankrupt them, everything I was planning to do with them from the business side is gone. Something this simple, I'm going to show you how effective this is. You see, for insurance agents, this liability limit, 25, 50, 25, or 100, 300, whatever, that's your language. That's not the customer's language. I'm in a market just 12 miles outside of Washington, D.C., there are more immigrants than even the indigents in that area now. They don't know much about insurance. I'm from Nigeria originally. Insurance is not important. Come to this country, insurance is required. For most immigrants, insurance is a nuisance. So they want the cheapest thing. So what I do with business owners is just educate them on the insurance. I said, you know what? Take a look at your liability insurance. I could take this sheet of paper and show them very simply that if you have the state minimum, if you log on to geico.com, which is one of the largest insurers of automobile in the Washington, D.C. area, Geico is government employees insurance company. So you would not find any other part of the world that has more concentration of Geico customers than there. So what I do with on their website is the state minimum. Find out what your state minimum is. Most of your business owners have the state minimum on their auto insurance. What does that mean? 25-50-25 means in event of an accident, $75,000 is the pot of money that is covered. Like in this case, it was a young man with a VW Passat, $367 for $75,000. But if you have $100,000, $300,000, you're buying $400,000 pot of money. If you have $250,000, $500,000, $200,000, you're buying $700,000. You know how people buy? People could relate to it. Gasolines are bought per gallon, right? So if they both run a gas station, this one is $2 a gallon, this one is $1 a gallon, right? It's very cheap. You know a good buy, right? Okay, she and I have the same automobile, 20 gas gallon tank. She went to this station that sells $1 a gallon, spent $20. She got a full tank. I go here, spend $20, I get half tank. Now, I could go to her and say, hey, we spend the same amount on gas. Don't brag about it. Is that true? We spend the same amount. She got a full tank, I got half a tank. Insurance, a lot of times, people say, well, we spend the same amount. It's not. I show my customers that you should shop for insurance on the rate. How much coverage are you buying for every dollar you're spending? This is the best way to break it down. So this may seem higher than this, but for every dollar you spend on this policy, you're buying $200 of coverage. For every dollar you spend on here, you're buying $1,500 of coverage. Which one is cheaper? And let me show you something interesting. Between 100,000 property damage and 200,000 property damage, how much was the difference? $6 every 6 months. $1 difference. In my market, there are automobiles that cost more than $100,000. So that business owner carries $100,000, which is a lot. If they're involved in an accident with a Tesla or a Lamborghini, and which was $146,000, insurance company pays for $100,000. They owe $46,000. If they find out that for a dollar more a month, they could have been protected up to $200,000. That's something that 9 out of 10 insurance agents are not even telling their clients. So for me, if I point this out to the small business owner, what do you think they will look at me or think about me when I want to talk about life insurance or buy-sell agreement or annuities? It's a no-brainer. You earn the right to get in that household by going in, taking what they have, and pointing out simple things they can do. And then tell them to take care of themselves because you want to do business with them. You want to do business with them long term. I want you to be in business to do business with me. So take care of simple things like this. It makes a big difference. Does that make sense? So even in an area that you don't do, I tell my clients, do you have a will? Something very simple. Go get that done. I sit clients down. I talk about if it's a partnership, a buy-sell agreement. Encourage them to get that in place first. Don't rush into selling a buy-sell agreement funding. There has to be a buy-sell agreement in place before the funding. See, that's a lawyer's job. My friend here, he can do the legal work. I don't get paid on that. But if you advise a business owner to take care of something that's simple that you don't have any interest in, you get your 2 feet in the door. Simple things like that makes the difference. Yes? Okay. Any questions? One of the things that, before you leave here, if you did not get this from my table, take one, because most of my concepts, I break it down in, on my webinar series where people subscribe to. Look at the topics and pick one. Okay. And just shoot me an email. I'll send it to you, because if you listen to the simplicity of it, one of the webinars or the packages there, I have three different areas for small business. I'm going to give you one quick conversation that you, for you financial services individuals. I'm going to take, who is a small business owner here that raised their hands before? Don't worry, I won't put you on the spot. Okay, Jay, how long have you been in business? 23 years, okay? If something happens, forget about your life insurance, okay? If something happens to you today, how much would your family get out of that business that you put in your sweat and efforts building the last 23 years?
Probably nothing.
He said probably nothing. Yeah. Most of your clients will tell you that. I had a drywall contractor that said that to me. Nothing. I'm the business. If I die today, they don't get anything. Okay. If I ask you, what if I could find a consultant in your line of business that may introduce a different part line of marketing or product line that in the next 10 years could guarantee you $300,000 to $500,000 to go to your family from your business, would you be interested?
Sure.
Who else would help make that decision other than you? Uh-huh. Who else do we need to meet with that will help make that decision, or is it all yours? All yours, okay? In the next 30 days, when would you have 30 minutes for me to share that with you? I'm going to make an appointment. Mm-hmm. What I will come back to Jay with is that now notice what I did. I had isolated his business. I have done it with a drywall contractor. I've done it with a carpet store owner. He said to me, $300,000 total, net. I said, okay, is there a way to build this business to $600,000? He said, no, because the reason he's doing as well. Now, let me ask you, though. We started at 1:30. Was it 45 minutes?
Oh, we go to 40 to 20 after.
Okay, because I thought it was 1 hour, then the next is 1:50.
No,
I might be wrong. Okay. Okay, all right. But the point here is help the small business owner first, because I'm not selling product yet. I'm trying to see, can he improve? He said, $300,000. I said, 21, it was 21 years. 21 years that you've worked so hard to run this carpet store. You will only pass $300,000 to your family, and maybe less at the time of sale. He said, the economy is so bad. The reason I'm even in business is long-time loyal customers. I said, okay, what can we do? Then I gave him that offer, because when I tried to ask him in the next 3-10 years, can you do even 200 more to move it to 500? He said, there's no way. So I came back and said to him, all right, what we're going to do, if I found a consultant that will get you another 3 to 500,000, but the cost of the consultant will be $10,000 to $15,000 a year. Who would have to make a decision for you to go with? He said, nobody. Okay. I came back with a 10-pay life policy and a universal life side-by-side. It was $12,600 annual premium for the next 10 years, fully paid. What I did was stay in business the next 10 years, take $12,600 for the next 10 years, create another $300,000. I have built for you in the next 10 years more than you've built the last 21 years to go to your family income tax free. I showed that to a drywall contractor on a small policy. He looked at it and said, okay, is there a limit I have at my desk a check for $101,000 for a 10-pair life on a drywall contractor because of that concept. Because he said, there's nothing that can go to the family. So I said, okay, run the business another 10 years. He's going to take $101,000 out of the business to create $2 million to go to the family. Yes?
What was the question?
What's your first name?
Larry.
I said, Larry. How long have you been in business? How long? Let's play with it.
Oh, 25 years.
25 years. If you died today, how much out of this business that you've worked 25 years for, how much of that will go to your family?
Okay.
In most cases, it's none, or very small. Then we work from there. See, when once you get into the business owner's space, you have a lot to work with. That's what I coach and train agents to do. Because it works so easily for me that it doesn't matter. Trust is the first thing transferred because you go in there to try to help. I'm not going to sell policies to small business owners. I want to help them. Some of them are overpressured. Some of them have been ignored. Small business owners also that have good business model but do not have collateral for loans should be good targets where you go to their banker and encourage the bank to give them a line of credit where you write life insurance and have collateral assignment. I did that for an IT company, $4 million. It was just a term policy. He just sold the business for $54 million. I'm doing a lot more than a term policy with him. Because he tells everybody that I was the one that made it. He was able to get a federal contract because he has $4 million line of credit. The $4 million was backed up with a term policy. This guy was 38 years old, did not have any assets to back up a loan. I sat with the banker and told him, this is an awesome business model, just that there's no assets. If he's alive running this business, he'll pay back your loan. If he dies tomorrow, you're up the creek. I'm going to put a $4 million policy on him. We have a collateral assignment to you. It was a done deal. So there's so many things you can do for a small business owner. The interesting thing in this case with the IT company, the bank didn't know it. He didn't know it. By talking to him, I heard some of his concerns and what he was trying to do. Based on my knowledge, I just made that possible for him. And I said, no, you're smart. You had a smart business. He said, no, it would not have happened if it wasn't for you. So we have investment money, and we have a bigger life policy and a nicer premium than the term policy premium that we wrote originally. Any questions? I'm going to be at my table today and tomorrow, so you can stop by if you have, because there's a lot that could be said, but it's hard to keep us within this timeline. So remember this, educate yourself and take care of your customers on things that you're not even making money on. You'll build the trust that is needed as a foundation to step forward. Thanks.